I want to draw your attention to a little phrase in verse number 14. The Bible said, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord... By the way, Lydia, in most of your Bibles, my Bible, it says the first convert in Europe. Whether that is true or not, because I'm sure there was a lot of converts, but this was the first one according to Paul's probably deal, his first missionary journey into that area. And we have a convert, and that's in that region of Turkey, up in that area. We have this lady by the name of Lydia. My brother-in-law's mother has that same name. But anyway, I want to call your attention to a very clear presentation or thought here in verse number 14, that it is the Lord that opens the heart of the unbeliever. It's the Lord that also draws the heart of the backslider back to Himself. It is the Lord and His work in our lives through human agencies. Right. Through different means. Sometimes it's through the chastening rod for the child of God that's gone astray, that has become cold and indifferent to the things of God and allowed himself or herself to be drawn away, as James says, by his own lust. A lot of people say, well, the devil made me do it. Or I've heard even people say, well, God let me do it. Although both is a lie. We're drawn away because the Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. And and above all things, and even for a child of God, we need to guard our hearts. But we see here with Lydia that it was the Lord who opened her heart. Now this, let me just make a statement here. Some of you have been watching that movie, God Is Not Dead. And in the characters of that movie, you find a young lady who is of a Muslim background. And she, through the internet and through different agencies, she has come under the gospel. She is listening to, in this particular movie, Franklin Graham. Found out something very interesting about that. That thought, that character, that concept was taken from a real life experience. There's a young lady in Saudi Arabia. I cannot pronounce her name, but it's not important. But she was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She had come to know Christ again, by way of internet. And she had developed a blog. She put a false name out there to hide her identity, but she was talking to her friends and to those that were following her, and she was using the internet, a lot like your son, to give the gospel. And there, one afternoon, in her home, she had her computer, her laptop open, and she was on the blog, and something happened. She left the desk, and her brother came in. Her brother walks over to the computer and realizes what she's he doesn't recognize the name because the name's different, but he finally figured out that was his sister. He was so enraged that he came back into the bedroom later, and he burnt her face with acid, burnt her body, cut her tongue out, and then killed her, her brother. But it was God that opened her heart that brought her to a point of salvation. We've talked about it here in Sunday school. We have mixed feelings. We have mixed emotions. Some say, nuke them all. And let God sort out the rest. But also, there's more missionary activity going on. After Saddam Hussein was captured and hung in Baghdad, they were able to start one of our mission, the mission agency that Brother Solomon and Brother Josiah Wambua is with down at Chandler, Arizona. They had a big part of starting that Baptist church in Baghdad. Over 300 people began to attend. That church is non-existent right now. Because after our U.S. troops were pulled out and the vacuum became in, ISIS and those other groups came in and killed the pastor. Several pastors. Several people. It's shut down now. But it was the same country who was dropping the bombs was also sending the missionaries. And hearts were being won. In Afghanistan, right now, there is a certain amount of freedom. There are believers and there are churches being built all over that area. Egypt. There are missionary. So there is two sides to it. But I want us to look at Lydia for a moment. And this is in no way, what I'm going to say, this is in no way removes the responsibility, the human choice that man makes in order to be saved or in order to come to Christ. But it does make it perfectly clear that before I can respond, before you can respond, anyone, that God needs to open the heart. God needs to open the heart. I was talking to two gentlemen on Friday. I felt led because I have one of them's card. I was hoping they would be here today. I felt like Philip, who the Spirit of God said to Philip, and we'll look at it in just a little bit, to join himself to a chariot. And in that chariot was the servant of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And there was two gentlemen as I was fishing. They come along the shore of the lake and they were watching and somebody made a comment and I went over to talk to them. And one of them said, he was talking about his business here and he gave me his card and his friend told him, he said, I told him that if I'm here another week, I've got to find me a Baptist church. They were here from Oregon and doing some business and I said, well, I'm glad I walked over here because I pastor the New Hope Baptist Church. And it's almost like you could have knocked him down. Really? And his friend, the one I have the card, he told him, he said, if we have time, you can go. He was doing work for him. I was hoping they'd be here today. It is God, for whatever reason, opens the heart and uses humans sometimes to crack that heart open. We have a situation here, we see. Now this is no way, it is in this way that God gets all the glory for man's salvation. He opens the heart, the gospel is preached, it is received. Now, if God were not to be the one who opens the heart to hear and receive the truth, it would be very difficult to understand a verse of Scripture like in Philippians chapter 1, or not Ephesians, or Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. It'd be very hard to understand it. And you're probably thinking, well, now, what does Philippians 1, 6 say? Well, Philippians 1, 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I submit to you that in Acts chapter 16, verse number 14, that we have described the beginning of a good work in Lydia's heart. It was God who opened. And it says there that it was whose heart the Lord opened that she attend unto the things spoken of Paul. Of course, the gospel is preached because in verse number 16, and the gospel is received and the gospel is believed and she's born again because in verse 16 now she's been baptized. Not baptism in men's salvation or baptism in order to obtain salvation. It's always faith. And then one follows the Lord in believers' baptism. What is the first step in a man's salvation? Or a woman's salvation? A person's salvation? What is the first step? According to Lydia's conversion, it's God. It's God opening the heart. Take yourself, those of you that are born again, and most of you are, but take yourself back to the time when you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. I was a very young boy. I was 7 years of age. But I remember distinctively when God opened my heart. And God helped me to realize I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell. And it was God who drew me to Himself. I remember those days of Holy Ghost conviction. When I could not wait for nightfall, then I could not wait for the morning light. I was so miserable, and I finally brought myself at the last service of the camp meeting. I felt like if I didn't get born again that night, I was going to hell before I could get home. And I could have. A car accident, whatever. You've probably been that way. I remember just before my wife got saved. And I knew her and I've known her all a big part since she's 7 years old. But at 12 years of age, I remember the night and I saw her and I looked upon her at the end of that church service. People were going out the door. They were already in the car. And Arlene fell under the conviction power of the Holy Spirit and made her way to an altar and got born again that night before she left the building. Had to actually summons the pastor to come over and try to, you know, to whatever. But I believe salvation took place when she started. Amen. God had opened the heart. Some of you, I had a hand in, we call it leading them to Christ. We're kind of like the midwife. You know, it's everybody else is doing work. We're just there to observe and catch it, whatever, you know. But it's God that's doing the work. So according to Lydia's conversion, God's opened the heart. We must recognize that salvation is a heart issue. That's why I entitled my message, "The Heart of the Problem is the Heart." The heart of the problem is the heart. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, if you want to turn over there, Mark chapter 16, verse number 14, we see that hard hearts do not believe. Hard hearts do not believe. Now, this is after the resurrection of Christ. I thought this was quite interesting as I read through this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. I said that for my benefit. I was over there in John. Mark chapter 16. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, we know that as we call it Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept." I mean, it was a dark time in the lives of the believers. They're mourning, they're weeping. These are believers. Verse number 11, because Christ never appeared to any unbelievers after His resurrection. Not one time. Verse number 11 says, "And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed what not?" How can that be? They believed not. Verse number 12 says, "And after He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked." These were the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they walked and they talked with Him and went into the country. The Bible says in verse number 13, "And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them." Now, who are we talking about? The world? No, we're talking about followers of Christ. We're talking about believers. It's one thing for the world to not believe, but it's another thing when believers won't believe. He is risen. He's been seen. They're spreading the news and they still won't believe. Verse number 14 says, "Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and abraded them with their unbelief." He chided them. He scolded them. That's what that word means. And hardness of what? Heart. Hardness of heart. "Because they believed not them that had seen Him after He was risen." So verse number 14 tells us that hard hearts do not believe. Calloused hearts. I submit to you that even born again children of God, according to this, can become cold and indifferent and hard hearted. And it's the Spirit of God taking the Word of God, sometimes using other children of God to crack, to open, to shed light upon our heart's condition. In Acts chapter 8, I made reference to it. Philip was led to the Ethiopian. Turn to Acts chapter 8. One of my favorite. It is a favorite story. I remember preaching this text over and over as I was encouraging churches to support us as missionaries. How God laid it upon the heart of Philip to join himself. Philip was in comfort. He was in a revival meeting. People were being born again. People were being saved. I mean, he was, and all of a sudden, God put it on his heart to join himself to a chariot down there in the Gaza area. The mind of God and how it works will always be somewhat of a mystery to us. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem." Anywhere from Jerusalem is down. Down. It's also a type of God. It represents God. It represents the Lord. And you get away from the Lord, you're going down. Good lesson there. But it says, going down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And the further away you get from God, it gets pretty dry. Desert. And it says, "And he arose and went." We have Philip being an obedient servant of God. God laid it upon his heart. He arose and went. And it says, "And behold, a man of Ethiopia and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship." In other words, he is what they called a proselyte. He was a non-Jewish worshiper. And he's making his way to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And it says, "Was returning, sitting in his chariot," read Isaiah the prophet. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. I've often thought, how long did he run beside that chariot and listening to the conversation? Him reading out loud. But he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest? Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I accept some man?" Here's our human instruments again. Being used of God. He said, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" All right, he opens the door. And Philip said, then Philip opened his mouth. Let me tell you that something about believers. We need to open our mouths a little bit more. The reason we're not seeing as many people saved, born again, because we play shut mouth and we allow ourselves, "Well, what will they think? Well, what will they..." They're going to hell. They need Jesus. Well, they might be mad. Let them be mad, but they'll at least... They'll have a fighting chance. They'll hear the gospel. Faith cometh by the word, and the word, or faith cometh by the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word. Where am I at? Oh, verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Wow. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And you won't find verse number 37 in your NIVs. Totally, all the verse is totally taken out. Not even there. But verse 37 is very important. Because it says, and Philip said, "If thou," what? "Believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." That's why we do not baptize. We try not to. I've had some that lie to me. I know they lie because after I baptized, you couldn't find them with the FBI, the CIA, NCIS. I mean, you couldn't find them. They disappear off the face of the earth. But I've baptized some true believers. They follow the Lord, and most of them are here today. He says, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe." What has happened to this man? Somewhere in the conversation, somewhere in the truth, he heard that his heart was first opened that he might receive the Word of God. He might receive... It was probably, his heart was even open probably before Philip ever showed up. God put it in him to want the prophet of Isaiah, the scriptures. You are always a seeking soul will always find a seeking Savior. He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, amen. I'm so glad one day he came by my way. Because, not because I was subscribed, but he came seeking. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 39, I just love this verse. It says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip." He's there, and he's gone. "Called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, not confused, not burdened down with his sin, but rejoicing." It's a happy day. Amen. He got born again. probably one of the first missionaries in the Ethiopian area. I mean, he's going back home with Jesus in his heart, baptized, filled with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. Amen. Educated in the Word of God. Philip educated him. But the prophet Isaiah went back to preach the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says that man believes in his heart that God raised Christ from the dead. Look at Romans 10, verse number 9. Romans 10, verse number 9. Very familiar portion of Scripture. That if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou might be saved. No. Thou shalt be saved. Now, in Romans 10, in verse number 9, confession is presented prior to belief in the order of the verse. But that does not speak of the chronological order of that, what happens when a man is born again. It is the heart that believes before the mouth speaks. Well, how can you get that, preacher? It says that he confessed first. Well, yes, it does in the order of the Scripture, but that's not the chronological order, because we've already established it's the heart. It's the heart that God opens. It's the heart that believes. I'll prove that to you in just a moment. It is this faith, this belief that changed this man from a condition of being spiritually dead to eternally alive. Jesus was very clear in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 18 when he said that what proceeds out of the mouth was a reflection or a product of what was in the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse number 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. I wonder about some people, what I hear come out of their mouth. And yet at the same time, they say they're a believer. But hey, I've been guilty of the same thing. Because our hearts are desperately wicked. The only thing good in our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I told my son, I told TJ, I said, do not fall into the trap of using the language they use in our military. I told him, I said, you have a choice. You can say that this day I'm not going to fall in. I remember when I was 19, working in a plant. I wanted to fit in, Bradley. We all have those tendencies from time to time. Some of us grow out of it. Some of us fall into it. Now, you probably know, too, working in a mine hole. But it's very easy. I wanted to be fitting. I wanted to fit in. All the other fellows, they were in their 30s. I was 19. I was a punk right out of high school. And I wanted to sound like them, so I started cussing. Mo, I know, Mom. If my mama knew that, she'd roll over twice in her grave. I did. I remember the first time I let out a string of cuss, and I thought, who is saying that? Well, my mama would wash my mouth out with, she would, and I didn't use that language. And I thought about that, and I continued that until God put me with Guy Engel. I'll never forget Guy Engel on the crew, a born-again child of God. He turned to me one day and he said, Richard, I heard one day you said you were saved. He said, the stuff that's proceeding out of your mouth doesn't sound like it comes from a heart that's been changed. The Spirit of God smote me again as a 19-year-old. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I'm so glad for 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive. And I've used it. I'm always wore it out. I'm hoping I never wear it out. I'm glad the Word of God says that His Word is ever forever established in heaven. It changes not. But Jesus made it very clear. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. That oral articulation of words to God is a reflection of a heart that God has changed. God opens the heart. God changes the heart. God, and He makes it anew. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 26. Ezekiel says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh." Here we have God the heart surgeon. Talk about open heart surgery. Out with the old heart, the old stony, cold, dead heart, and in with the new heart. It is this new heart that now desires to call out to God. It is this new heart that has a desire to call out to God for salvation. Lydia's heart was open, and now she's attending to the things that Paul said. I don't know. We don't know. She may have heard Paul on several occasions. But finally, God opened the heart. She attended unto the gospel. She got born again, baptized. Now she's serving. Now she's serving. You know, the reason I find so many people have a hard time wanting to serve the Lord, I don't think they've ever truly been born again. Or their heart's so cold and indifferent to the things. Boy, when I got saved, you know the first thing I wanted to do? I wanted to serve Him. He loved me. He saved me. He's cleansed me. He's made me a new creature in Christ. Even at 7 years of age, I wanted to tell somebody. Never forget, I went home and picked up the phone and called my Uncle Ben. And I said, "Ben, I got saved tonight." I couldn't explain it. I just said, "I'm not going to hell. Jesus is my Savior. I've been forgiven." Never had done that before. It's a change that takes place. Which the stony heart rejects the gospel. But when God opens the heart, the man or the woman, the boy or the girl can hear the truth and believe. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17, a new creature, a new creation. And now that new creature now chooses to serve God, now loves what he once first hated or thought was foolish. Some of you have even testified to the fact before you were saved, you thought how foolish they are going to church every day. Some of your neighbors see you every Sunday morning getting in your car and walking out there with your Bible in your hand, getting in your car, coming to 116 Tanner Craft, and they're thinking, "How foolish. Man, on this beautiful day or on this good day, I just don't see it." They need a heart change. They get what you've got and they got what I got. They'll want to come too. Why we need to build a bigger place so they can come. A soul winner, we call them. And we all should be. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. We all ought to be, strive to be a soul winner. A soul winner, instead of saying, "Would you like to pray with me?" we ought to say something like, "Would you like to turn from a life of serving self and believe that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that He can forgive you of your sins?" I'm getting further and further away from this ABC 1-2-3 pray after me, because I've had them to pray just repeat. You can teach. Sorry to say, you can teach a monkey, but I ain't heard a monkey talk. You can teach somebody to do something, mimic you. But it's God that opens the heart. When God opens the heart to hear the truth, a new creature in Christ will desire to pray to God, and
he or she now loves God. You see, with this new heart, repentance is now possible. When we're turning from our sin, it's almost simultaneous. There's a certain amount of repentance. But then as we believe and we trust Christ, and then as we grow in the things of God, God's given us the opportunity and the ability to repent of a lot of other things. Those sins which so doth easily beset us. Sometimes it takes a little time. But after a while, you know, it's called sanctification. God's grace is sufficient to not only forgive my sin, but is now enabling me to be a conqueror. The Bible says that in Christ we are more than conquerors. I know what a conqueror is. But it says that we are more than a conqueror. Oh. Huh. And it's only in Christ Jesus. Often the first difference that will be seen is a desire and a willingness to pray, to serve, to love God that we previously rejected with a closed heart, a stony heart. In closing this morning, I want to draw your attention to a verse. John chapter 6, verse number 44. Let's draw our attention to a parallel between what the Lord opened in Lydia's heart and what Jesus said in John 6 and verse number 44. Jesus said in John 6, 44, "No man come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." You see the parallel? Before Lydia believed, her heart was opened by God. Jesus says that no man can come except the Father who sent me, draw him, opens the heart. How do we need to pray for people? God, open their heart. Help us to open their heart. Use me if you can to help them open their heart to see their need. No man come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. I love God because He first loved me. 1 John 4:19. I believe because the Lord opened my heart. The Lord opened my heart. Why? Have I been the most perfect child of God? Have I been the most perfect preacher? Have I been? No, I'm not. One of these days when I get to heaven after a million years, I may say why. And get an answer. I'll be too. But He did because He loved us. I have some cousins. First cousins. We're as close as we grew up together. And I've got some that love God and serve God. And they come from the same loins. The same. We were brought up in the same atmospheres. Heard the same gospel. And yet. Some just totally reject everything. Everything that their mother and their daddy and their grandparents and their heritage, all the things that they were exposed to, they just totally rejected it. And they won't have nothing to do with God, with church, with the Bible. And their life proves it. And then there's some of my other cousins that have sold out totally. How? I don't know. But it's God that opens the heart. And I pray that one day that God will use those that have sold out and dedicated to reach them. But it's going to have to be God that opens the heart. I can't even really talk to them on the phone, Joyce. It's just, you know, that small talk. You know, that little, "Hi, how are you? Great. All right. Yeah. Okay." And after a few minutes, they don't have nothing to say. And, "Well, talk to you later." Because there's resistance. There's a barrier. It's God that has to open the heart. This type of understanding of our conversion is very compatible. it gets along very good with what Paul, compatible is the word I want, compatible with what Paul states in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. God's sovereignty and Paul's human responsibility is knitted together perfectly in that verse. Knitted together, fits together. Now, think about this. Was Jeremiah the only human being God knew before He formed him in his mother's womb? Now think about it. The Bible says that God knew him. Was Jeremiah the only one? Was Jeremiah the only prophet that God sanctified and ordained before he came forth from his mother's womb? I praise God. I don't understand it. But I praise God that the answer is certainly not. He's not the only one. In fact, I submit to you, I thank God that He knew me before I knew Him. And guess what? He knew you before you knew Him. When you were a little girl running around over in Germany, before you were set, God knew you. He knew right where you were. Had the address. Yeah. None of us knew her. Yeah. Before God saved you as a young woman, He knew you. Amen. He knows us. How about you? Do you have a correct understanding of how God saved yourself? First of all, He opened your heart. And then you receive the gospel. There's a lot of people, I believe, that their hearts have been opened. And God's waiting for some of us to come along and plant the seed. Plant the seed. To be the instrument. As this message today I'm preaching is going out on the airwaves and then out over the internet, just amazed me the other way, that of the downloads we're getting in countries. And I'm thinking, are there hillbillies that live there that understand and follow my accent? 1 month we had 108 from Germany. One month we had 88 from France. China. Some little house church, a group of people get together, they flip up on a laptop and they tune in. They go to sermonaudio.com and New Hope Baptist Church in Craig, Alaska. They hear this hillbilly. But they do it, we see it all the time. How about you? Do you understand what God's doing? Does God get all the credit? Does God get the glory? Does God get the honor when we testify of how we came to know Jesus Christ? I hope so. Is He your Savior? The Bible tells us that we should examine ourselves to see that if you're in the faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10 says for us, it says, brethren. Peter's talking to brethren. Somebody said, no, that's not Christian brethren. That was his Jewish brethren. I think it could be either one. He said brethren. It could be his brothers after his nationality, his fellow Jews, or it could be his fellow believers. But he said this. He said, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Every once in a while, God, the Holy Spirit, will stop us, and we need to do a self-exam. Right now, this breast cancer awareness, they tell them, do a self-exam. I want to say, for us to do a heart exam, do a self, make sure, give diligence to make your call and an election sure. Have you been born again? You're the only one who can answer that. Perhaps today is the day that God maybe has opened your heart. I don't know. You know. God knows. But if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior who died on the cross for your sins and my sins, you'll believe in your heart. The Bible says you can be born again. Simple as that. For the child of God who's become cold and indifferent to the things of God. We've all been there. I've been there. Just recently, God made me aware, brought me face to face with some things in my life. And I had to say, wow, how could this be? I am a child of God. I am a preacher of the gospel. I'm an old man, or older man. I'm not as old as some of you, but we're all going there, God willing. Amen. God brings us face to face with things. And we ask ourselves, how could I allow myself? How could this happen? Well, I'm so glad God still opens the heart. God works in the heart. Amen.